Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 8. Exodus 8. Different verses. We'll start with Exodus 8, verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." Now go to verse 28. And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away." Now go to chapter 10. On verse 8, "And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go?" And of course, Moses tells them, "Well, we're taking everybody." And then on verse 11, Pharaoh says, "Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord." Look at verse 24 on chapter 10:24. "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word that you left us to guide us and lead us in this life. I pray, my Father, that you would speak to every heart that's here. I pray that you remove all demons and devils that would try to snatch away thy word. I pray, my Father, that you would that your word would have free course, that it would accomplish that which you wanted to accomplish. Speak to every heart that's here and teach us thy word. We pray, my Father, that above all, that you receive all the honor and glory, as only thou art worthy. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, I began to look into the word compromise this week. I was thinking of a lot of things, and it led me to these verses on Exodus. These are things that I had already seen a long time ago when I was teaching the book of Exodus. But one of the things about compromise that I realize is that we live in a world where we compromise all the time. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. You have to compromise. It's not all about you. For those that are newlywed, you'll learn this lesson real quickly. Once you have children and you want to go and eat, I'll learn to say, "I'll go wherever you all want me to go." Because everybody's got their own idea where to go, what to eat. So you compromise all the time. And, of course, I saw it also in law enforcement. I would see that the district attorney would always be trying to work a deal with the defense attorney. And somebody would plead guilty for a lesser offense. There was a compromise. I didn't like it at first, but then I saw how good or how much it served many times just to compromise. But let me tell you something. In the things of God, in the Word of God, this is one place where there's no compromise. God has given us His laws, His statutes, His commandments, His testimonies, and we are to obey it. The Bible says also that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. But you know, the Lord also was describing the devil, and that's who I'm going to be speaking about in Exodus chapter 8 and 10. The Lord was describing the devil, and he opened up his criminal history. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's where all the things that you've done all your life, ever since you became an adult, that will follow you for the rest of your life. I used to go and get the criminal histories before I would walk to the DA's office to file on somebody. And many times I would think, well, this guy don't look too bad, until I opened up his rap sheet and I would see that he had committed all kinds of crimes. And you're amazed how they're still walking around with this long rap, with this long criminal history. Well, the devil is just the same. The Lord gives us a little bit of his history. In John chapter 8, and he says, this guy's a liar. He's the father of liars. There's no truth in him. He was a murderer from the beginning. But one of the things that I see also is that he's a master at compromising. His objective is to destroy you to destroy your family. Anything that God has made, that's his objective. And that's exactly what we see. That's what I see in the scriptures. And of course, you go to the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul tells you in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, we are not ignorant of his devices. He has a lot of devices, my friend. And he will fool people. And in Ephesians chapter 6, he goes on to tell you, put on the whole armor of God. And of course, the whole armor of God is the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, wrapped with the truth, the gospel of your preparation, and girded about with truth, rather. And all these things you put on, and then he says, and then pray and watch with all perseverance. You can still be all fully armored, all shiny and standing there looking real pretty, and the devil can still come and knock you out if you're not praying. You need to persevere, and you need to hang in there. And this is one of the things that we see that the devil will do. He's always trying to get you to fall. And even from the beginning of time, right after the Lord had finished creating the whole world, and he had made all things, immediately afterwards, we see a discussion between Eve and the devil. And we see how so many things, of course, you can go into so many lessons from there. We can see the fall of men. What I want to point out to you is you also see how subtle Satan is. All he has to do is just get a little crack. All he has to do is find a little mistake in you, find a little weakness, and he will look for all kinds of ways to find that mistake. But I just want you to know that even though you're fully, all those that are saved, you're fully dressed in his righteousness, you've got the helmet of salvation, you're ready to go to war, nevertheless, many people still fall. And that's what the Bible tells us. For those that are lost, the Bible says that he will take you at his pleasure. He will take you at his will. For those that are saved, God, the devil is always looking for something where you can fall so that he can knock you out and bring a bad testimony. But this morning, I want to bring you four different types of devices that the devil has. You might not have seen them. I'm sure when you read it, it attracted your attention because this is really amazing. It was to me, but I hadn't touched on it until I began to think about it. But the devil is real good, and there's always something behind him. You need to understand he's a liar and the father of lies, and there's no truth in him. He has always been a liar, and his objective is to knock you out. Anything he says, even though it might sound real good, like here he will be making some compromises and saying, yeah, you can do this, but don't do that. Yeah, you can go this, but don't do that. And over and over. So my first one that I want to talk to you this morning, his first trick, is on 8:25. He says, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. Keep in mind, first of all, that we're talking about Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. And Pharaoh, of course, was the king of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. And we know, of course, that Pharaoh kept the children of Israel in bondage. And the devil also has you in bondage if you're lost. And the Lord can set you free. Nevertheless, many times Christians, they fall into the traps. So what we see here is that this is symbolic. What I'm telling you is a type. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. And Egypt is a type of the world. And that's what we have here. But the literal interpretation when he says, go ye and sacrifice to your God in the land. That's not where they want it to be. They wanted to go out. They were on the way. They wanted to go to the promised land. And, of course, the literal interpretation is worship your God, but stay in Egypt. In other words, worship your God, but stay in the world. Worship your God. Go on Sundays. Go ahead and go to church on Sundays. But the rest of the week, serve the devil. live like the world. Don't worry about anything. You don't have to witness. You don't have to do all these things. That's exactly what Satan is doing. That's exactly what Pharaoh wants. This is the message that he's trying to give. He says, yeah, go ahead and serve him, but just stay in the land. The land is the world. The land is Egypt. And I just want you to know that this is the condition of the church in these last days. That's exactly what he wants people to do. He doesn't want you to be a good Christian. He wants you to stay in the world. This way, you're not going to be effective. Nobody's going to believe you. You're going to act like the world. You're going to live in the world. And we have examples in the Bible. We have the example of Lot, which the devil had already seen what had happened there in Genesis. When the time came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord had sent the angels to take away Lot and his family, Lot was told, what family do you have here? Go and tell them. They need to go take them. There's no time to wait. Of course, he went and told his sons-in-laws. And what did they do? The Bible says that they looked at him as one who mocked. In other words, they thought he was joking. They thought that he was just playing around. He didn't mean what he was saying. Is that the way you're perceived at work? When you talk to your neighbors, is that how you're perceived? Let me tell you, if you're in the world and you drink a beer with them, and then you want to witness to them later, they're going to look at you as one who mocketh. If you want to tell somebody about Jesus, but you've been partaking of all their jokes, and you're there laughing with them, and you're partaking with them, how are they going to listen to you when you start telling them about the Lord? They think you're just one of them. Don't bring your religion to me, that's what they'll say. And that's exactly what was happening, what the devil wants here. He wants you to stay in the land. In other words, don't pay attention to nobody. Just go ahead and stay in Egypt. But why is it so important for Satan for you to stay in the world? Or for Pharaoh for you to stay in the land? First of all, my friend, if you can just stay in the world, then you're not going to win souls. You're going to lose your testimony. And I remember when I was in false religion, and once I saw the truth, I knew I needed to come out, how much I wanted to stay in my false religion. And I would ask anybody, I was waiting for somebody to tell me, yeah, it's okay, but I saw it more and more, I needed to come out. And finally, I asked some good Christians, and they said, you know what, you need to come out to be a good testimony. In other words, you don't go fishing for sharks and you get in the water with them. I know some of you like to fish out there where the sharks are, but I don't think it's very wise. You're in their territory. And but in real life, I saw that I needed to come out. I was witnessing one time to somebody who belonged to another false religion. And when I told him, well, I belong to this one, he said, well, don't even talk to me, man. You all do all these other things. And he was telling me the truth. You can't be in false religion. And the devil knows it. Just go ahead and stay in the land. Stay in the world. Stay in false religion. You lose your testimony. You're worthless as a witness. You cannot, and of course, you cannot enter the promised land. That was the object. They wanted to go so that they can go into the promised land. The Lord had already told them. But he wants you in his turf. He wants you to stay in the land. Just recently, maybe you heard somebody from Mexico came. They looked at his criminal history. He had been arrested many times. But he came over, and just as I guess they were going to arrest him, he ran over one of our border patrolmen and he killed him. And then he fled into Mexico. Well, once he's in Mexico, the Mexican police apprehended him. They arrested him. They told the Americans, we got him. He says, okay, we're going to need him. We need to extradite him back over here. And then the next thing you know, he's gone. They released him. They don't know why or where he's at. And the thing is, there's nothing we can do. We told him, yeah, go ahead and catch him because we need him over here. You see, we can't go out there and do those things or prosecute him over there. We need to get him on our turf. He needs to be in our country so that we can try him, so that we can take him and do some justice on this individual. But as long as he's over there, we can't touch him. And that's why the devil wants you in his turf. He wants you in his land. He wants you in his world. That way he can just ruin your testimony. And he can make you ineffective. Nobody will listen to you. You'll be just another lot. But you know what the Bible tells us also, and the devil knows this. He knew that God would want for you to be separate. And in the Old Testament, he tells his people over and over, they needed to be separate. Over and over. We go into the New Testament, it doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you go into the New Testament, and he tells you very clearly, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. He says, be not unequally yoked. That's in 2 Corinthians 6. But if you go to the book of Revelation, he also says, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins in Revelation 18. And I just want you to know what he says on verse 18, on chapter 18. God was about to destroy, and this is future, about to destroy a false religion, and he wants his people to come out. Why does he want you to come out? Because you will be partakers of her sins. When the destruction comes, you'll be right in the middle of it. It's so important, and of course, as long as you're partaking, as long as you're in the world, as long as you're out here trying to fit in with the world, you're going to be destroyed. Things are going to come your way. The devil is going to get you. And it doesn't matter whether it's the devil or Pharaoh, whoever is saying this, they know exactly what they're saying. In other words, what God is trying to tell you, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Last time somebody drank the Kool-Aid, I saw the pictures. That was a long time ago. Somebody decided to follow a false prophet by the name of Jones. And the guy wind up taking people to another country, by the country of Guyana. And he wind up making them drink the Kool-Aid. And I saw the pictures by one of the guys that was taken, one of the FBI guys that was on the fingerprint team that goes to the catastrophes. There's three teams. And the guy who went to that particular incident, he brought some pictures, and I saw them. It was so bad, and I won't tell you anything like that or describe. But I'll just tell you this much. I couldn't eat for a week. It disturbed me so much, and I was used to walking into blood. I was used to going into crime scenes where people had been killed. This one was really bad. What the Bible is telling you, God is telling you, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, is going to be even worse. Something that we cannot even think or imagine. But let me take you to the second trick that the devil has. It's on verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Let me break it down a little bit more simpler to a smaller denominator. What he's telling you is you can go ahead and be religious, but don't go all out for Jesus. That's what he's saying. Don't go too far out. Don't become a fanatic. Now, as far as the world's concerned, you can go to this first game and you can dye your hair silver. You can paint your face silver and black. You can go ahead and do all kinds of stupid things and yell and scream and act like a maniac, and everybody thinks you're real good. But go out there and stand in the street and preach for Jesus, and everybody will call you a fanatic. That's exactly what they tell all our brothers that are out there preaching all the time. They call them fanatics, and the ones who are doing it are probably the ones that are the sports fanatics. But that's exactly what the world wants you to do. That's what the devil wants you to do. In other words, don't give out, don't sell out for Jesus, stay lukewarm. That's exactly what the devil is trying to tell you. That's just in simpler, more words. Pharaoh is just trying to accomplish several things. He wants you to be inconsistent. Don't go all out. So in other words, just come to church Sunday morning. You don't even have to come to the teaching. As long as you're here for the 10 o'clock. And don't worry about prayer. Who cares about prayer? But as soon as you have an emergency, as soon as somebody's dying, or as soon as somebody has passed away, you come here right away and, can we have prayer? Many times they just tell you, can you tell your church to pray for me? Or tell them to pray for my brother. Why don't you just come to church? The devil wants you to stay away. He says, don't be a fanatic. Don't go all the way. But that's exactly what this world wants you to do. That's what Satan wants you to do. He doesn't want you to be too fanatic. He just doesn't want you to upset anything. He wants you to miss everything that is good and perfect, what the Lord wants you to do. He doesn't want you to read the Bible. That will be too much being too fanatic, going too far out on the limb. You might wind up reading where he says, forsake not the assembly of the believers. That's why in many churches, and this is also the one that I used to go to, we didn't even take a Bible. And he never dawned on us. Why don't we take? Because we were trusting in a man. Because he dressed very pious. He walked very pious. And when you asked him a question, he talked real low. And he put his shirt backwards. And we thought that was really, really holy. But nobody took a Bible, and then he would quote from different things. But then once I began to read the Bible, I began to check their little book. It had nothing but lies. And that's why they keep millions and millions of people in it. They don't want you to be a fanatic. And many times they would even say, don't read the Bible. It makes you go crazy. Let me just tell you something. That's exactly what the devil wants. It's one of his tricks. He doesn't want you to go all out for the Lord. He doesn't want you to go too far. He doesn't want you to get too serious. He just wants to keep you in the dark. And once a week is sufficient. It's a lie of the devil. And that's one thing. Once I got saved, I understood that it was my obligation to be with the saints as much as possible. And I've been doing it since I've been saved. Of course, I started only on Sundays, but it didn't take me long to understand I needed to be there also during prayer time. I needed to also go to the Lord's Supper. That's exactly what God has commanded you. The devil, of course, let me give you, go to chapter 10. I'm going to go to verse 24, the fourth one. I'm going to make it my third, because I want to reserve the third for the last. So go to 10:24, and I'm going to go with that. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Now that sounds very nice. I mean, what's wrong with that? You could very easily argue and say, well, he doesn't want you to be minding all the sheep. He doesn't want you to be trying to carry the flock in a straight path. You have to also carry food for them. You have to do so many things. But there's a motive behind it. You see, the flocks and the herds is the same thing as money. That's exactly what they would use to eat. That's exactly what they would use to sell, to buy. This is their staple. This was their money. So it's translated into money. And the devil is in reality, or Pharaoh, is actually telling you, just leave it behind. Leave it here with us. Leave it in the world. And that's exactly what the devil has done. In these last days, you can see it very clearly. So many people have left all their money, all their flocks, their herds. They have left it at the bars. They have left it at the drug dealer. There's so much drugs, so much drinking, that that's where the money is going. And then they wonder, well, why are we in this condition? A long time ago, many years ago, the area that I used to work, They came out on the news, and I remember discussing this in college. But it came out that there was an HEB, and he gave the location in the area that I used to patrol. And he said that that HEB sold more beer than any other place in San Antonio. And I said, yeah, I believe that. Because I was always going to disturbances. People were drunk. Then at the same time, it came out that Texas were the biggest beer drinkers in the nation. And then it also came out that San Antonio was the biggest beer drinkers in the state. And of course, I just told you, that little HEB sold more beer than anybody else in San Antonio. So narrow it down, I was working in the worst area in the whole United States that sold more beer than anybody else. And now, many years later, it came out not too long ago that this particular area has more pregnant girls than anybody in the United States. It just came out Friday as I was going to work. I was listening to the news that they have just realized that that area alone, only 2% out of 120,000 people that live in that area, only 2% have graduated from college. And all the PhDs are going to get together and all the great minds, and they're going to figure out what happened. How can we figure it out? I know the answer, but they're not going to ask me. All their fathers were nothing but a bunch of drunkards. You see, they already left all their hurt. They left their flocks behind. They left it at the beer joints. They left it at HEB. They left it at the drug dealers. And then they wonder, why are we in this condition? And that's exactly what we're being told right here. The Pharaoh is telling them, that's okay. Take your family. Take everybody. Just leave me the money. Leave all the beer here. Leave all the money that you buy the beer, rather. And that's something that it looks very innocent at the outset, but it's very dangerous. Because they know that Christians, if they have money, they're going to give to the work of the Lord. They're going to give to the church. They're going to give to missionaries. And the work will continue. But if you don't have no money, then what will happen? The next thing you know, you wind up in applying for TANF. That's Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. And then they go for food stamps, and I know some families that get as much as $1,000 a month. They might have 10 kids, each one of them with a different last name, but they're getting $1,000 a month for food stamps. Then you've got free housing. You pay $50 a month. You get electricity free, water free. And then if you take one of your kids to the doctor and he says, well, he's a little slow, well, then the government comes in and gives him SSI because he's a little slow. It's amazing. If you only knew what really happens. And then we wonder, why should these people go to work? You see, if they work, now they got to pay higher rent. They got to pay for babysitting. They got to pay for gas like the rest of us. They got to pay for a car, for insurance. And that's why let's just quit. And I see this all the time. They quit so that they can be supported. In other words, they don't want nothing to do with the flock. They don't want nothing to do with the herds. They just rather that you just support them. And this is exactly what the devil has done. Now they're saying, how can we get out of this mess? They'll never figure it out. But they won't ask me. But you know, let's go to the last one. And that's in Exodus chapter 10, verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And of course, Moses, he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had already told, he tells you later on, rather in Deuteronomy 18, that God is going to send a prophet like unto him. Him shall you hear and obey. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is a type of the Lord. And of course, he answers correctly on everything. He handles everything. And the Lord can also answer all your questions and guide you correctly if you would just let him. So Moses here is telling them, yeah, we're taking the herd, we're taking the flock, we're taking our kids, we're taking our families. Nobody's staying behind, not even one hoof. And then, of course, the devil says, or Pharaoh in verse 11, he says, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. You know what he's telling you? He's saying, go ahead and go and serve. I just want your children. And this is what I wanted to talk to you about. I just want your children. It is a shame that you bring up kids in the learning and admonition of the Lord, and the devil still gets them. They're saved. They're fully vested with all the armor of God. They got their helmet of salvation. They got the breastplate of righteousness. They're holding on to the shield of faith. And then the devil comes in and takes away your sword. He takes away your word. That way you can be deceived. You can't win a battle without the sword. You wouldn't dare go into battle and leave your sword behind. But yet that's what the devil does. He'll knock your shield away so fast. He cannot take away your helmet. That's the helmet of salvation. But he can definitely take your shoes away, the preparation of the gospel. He can unstrap that truth that you have and throw it away. He can snatch your sword. He can knock your shield. And all because you became rebellious. And that's exactly what he wants to do. He says, go ahead and worship. Go ahead and go to church. Go as much as you want to go. Just leave me your children behind. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Now, what mother and father wouldn't give their life for their children? Many times, I would go out on the streets as a policeman, and I would see a young child die. I can tell you many stories about that. And every time a little child would die, whether it was in the crib or an accident on the street, I would come home and cry with my daughters. I would start thinking of them. I don't want this to happen to them. I'd give my life for them. Now I have grandkids and I feel the same way. But let me tell you, the devil doesn't care. He wants to destroy the children, because if he does, then he's got you. How can you continue to serve the Lord? The Bible tells you very plainly in Proverbs 17:25. He says, a foolish son is a grief to his father, a bitterness to her that bare him. Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, heaviness to the mother. And we can just go on and on and on. This doesn't apply only to sons. It applies also to daughters. Any son, any daughter that goes astray, it breaks your heart. How can you perform? How can you even preach? I remember when I first started preaching and it was my turn to go and give a sermon somewhere, and I had to go and make a presentation. I was very new, and my daughters would be fighting, and the next thing I know, I'm in the middle of it, I'm spanking them, and then I would say, how can I go preach now after I just had an outburst of anger? How can you do it? It's heaviness. It's bitterness. It's calamity. That means problems. How can you continue to go? And yet the Lord wants to bless all the families. That's what he says in Genesis 12:3. He says, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God wants to bless every family. He wants everybody to get saved, even though he knows not many will get saved. But everybody that gets saved, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your children. He wants you to prosper. And what does the Apostle John say in the epistles of John, chapter the third book? He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That was John speaking, but let me tell you, that's the same thing as if God was saying it. It is God saying it through John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that's the joy that I have now. But I know it can change at any time. None of us can say, well, my kids are really good. My kids are serving. Your kid can also go wrong at any time. The devil can attack them and knock them down at any time. And that's why we need to take the advice of Job. The Bible tells us that Job in the first chapter, he says, and Job continually prayed for his children just in case they had sinned and cursed God in their hearts. That's something that you can't see. You can't see the heart. You can see their mouth. You know, you can hear what comes out of their mouth. But many times they're sinning. They're cursing. They're saying things that they shouldn't be saying. They're saying it with the heart. And God looks at the heart. And this is something that we don't know what our children are doing. That's why it's important that we continually do like Job. Pray for our children. Pray that that the Lord would protect them and guide them just in case. And so many times we take things for granted. Just because they're here with us. The devil is out to get anyone. And once they're gone, there's so many things in this life that will drop somebody. And I have seen it over and over and over. Not only with Christians. I see it with friends that have good kids, families that look real good, marriages that look very stable. The next thing you know, everything's going sour. Everything is going bad. And then you say, wow, how can that happen? It happens. It happens daily. It happens to the ones you least expect. It is something that we need to continue in prayer. We need to stay real close. It's a device of the devil. He wants your children. And that's why I'm giving you this. The devil wants your children, and we don't want to lose our children. If he gets our children, what's going to happen to the church? He'll knock the church out, and he knows exactly what he's doing. That's why the Bible tells us that in the last days, he says, I would rather that you were cold or hot. I don't want you in between. I don't want you lukewarm. You need, and actually, he doesn't want you cold. He wants you hot. He wants you serving the Lord. And the thing is that we serve a merciful God that all he's doing, he's just waiting for you to repent. He can change things around so quickly. If we would just repent and ask him to forgive us for our trespasses and that we want to get right. But let me tell you something. I've been preaching mostly to Christians. And this last part has been mostly to their children. But if you're here and you're not saved, you have not been born again, then none of this really applies to you because you don't belong to him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, he says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you are none of his. There's no such thing as we're all God's children. You only hear that on the Western songs, that we're all God's children. It's a lie of the devil. You need to be born again. That's why Jesus came to the most religious man and he told him, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. If you've only been born once, you will die twice. You need to be born the second time. The first time you came by mama. The second time you must be born again of the Spirit. And you can do that even this morning. If while you're sitting, if you would just repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in God. And I'm not talking about repenting just with your lips. I'm talking about repenting from your heart. Now, you can fool every single one of us, but you won't fool God. I know when I asked the Lord to save my soul, I did it with my lips, and I cried so much that I wet my whole shirt in the front from all my tears. I meant business, and he changed my life. And he can change yours too. That doesn't mean you'll have to cry or wed your church. But it means that you need to come to God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That the Lord will not reject. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter where you come from. Your background is insignificant. It's what you do from now on. If you will just repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call on the Lord right now? Get saved while it is called today. Don't harden your heart like in the day of provocation. Ask the Lord to save your soul. We're going to open up the altar. We're going to sing number 249. The altar is open in case you want to talk to the Lord.